pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for the truth of that. That you are worthy, sweet Jesus. You're worthy to be praised and lifted up. You are God Almighty. And somehow, in your remarkable love and grace and mercy, you love us. As unlovable as we are, you love us. So much so that you died for us. And I pray right now, Heavenly Father, that every heart in this room, that we would turn our heart and our mind to you. We not worry about any of the distractions around us or what's going to happen this week or what happened last week or whatever. We just at this moment give you this time. Speak to us through your word, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Change our lives so that we might truly be blessed. For it's in your holy and precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Well, good morning, church family. It is a gorgeous day, and it's good to have you here. We began a series last week talking about this battle that we have within us. And we talked about the brokenness and the fact that one of the things that we're called to in Christ is to be broken before Him. And within that, I want us to talk this morning, continuing to look at this battle that we have. The fact that Paul would say we have this, there's two me's within here. There's the me that wants to glorify God and wants to seek after God, and there's also the me inside here that desperately wants my own way. It seeks after my own pleasure and my own desires. And there in Romans chapter 7, Paul describes that. He says, you know, we're in this constant battle. I'm not doing the things I want to do, but I end up doing the things that I don't want to do. So there's this struggle going on. We see it all the time. And so here we are talking about this battle, and I want us to talk about the idea of blessed in this situation of this battle. What does it mean to be blessed? We use that word a lot, do we not? We'll bless you. Bless your heart, you know. Especially if somebody does something, you know, like really annoying. In the early service at North Campus, I have to tell on her, Stacy Fleming, her phone goes off in the middle of my preaching, and it just keeps going off. And I look at her, I go, Stacy? And she just goes, she's just frantic, you know. I'm thinking, just, you know, the button on the side, do I need to come down? And I said, look, there's a sink back there. Go put it in water. It'll die, okay? Do something, you know. And so finally she turns it off, and I looked at her and I go, bless your heart, you know, bless your heart. We use that term, bless, in so many ways. And if I was to say, what does that mean? What does that mean to you to be blessed? Well, see, we would say, well, it means, because you say, well, you know, I pray that if it's your birthday, we pray you have a blessed day. Well, what we really, truly, we're saying is we hope you have a happy day, we hope you have a fun day, you know. And so that, even though maybe your Sunday school answer would be a little deeper, but that's how we use the word. I hope that you're blessed. I feel really blessed. There's nobody on the planet that says, man, I've had a blessed day today, and they're talking about tragedy. That's usually not what we do. It's always some kind of a good thing. It's a happy thing. It's a healthy thing. It's a wealthy thing that we have. My job is such a blessing. That means you don't have a jerk for a boss, or they pay you well, or you kind of enjoy that job. You know, that's the blessing of the job. Or, you know, oh, my family is such a blessing that because you don't have teenagers in your home, you have young kids, or you have, you know, they're gone. Now you have a blessing in your home. Whatever it might be, but that's how we use the word blessed. Very seldom do we ever kind of use the idea to say, wait a minute, the blessed life is always a dual thing. I'm blessed when I'm suffering, at the same time I'm in joy. I have pain, and I'm also rejoicing at the same time. There's disappointment and gladness at the same time, because that is the picture of life. There's really at no point in our life could we ever say that we're just completely problem-free And even when you say, boy, all I have is problems, that's really not the truth either, because there's always certain things within your life that are a blessing to you. I love the way that it's kind of both stated in Psalms chapter 3, verse 6. And we're going to be looking as this we go through this battle within series, we're looking throughout the different selected Psalms. We're going to get to Psalms 32, but before we get there, Psalms 3, 6 says this, I will not be afraid of many thousands of people have set themselves against me all around. Here's this crazy thing he says, I will not be afraid. And I've got all of these people all around me. So in the sense of what he's saying is, I'm in a horrible situation, but I'm not going to be afraid. You see, that's that dual side of, this is not a good situation, but I'm still feeling blessed because I'm not going to be afraid because I knew who God is in my life. See, we continue to do that. One of the most well-known psalms of all is Psalms 23. In verse 4 it says, and even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, so here you have the worst time of your life. In that incredible psalm, he says, I'm going to go through this valley of the shadow of death, this horrible time in my life. And then you drop down two more verses. And what does it say there in verse 6? And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What? You know, is the psalmist crazy? Is David, when he penned that, is he a little bit, you know, bipolar or something? Is he swings over here and over there? No, it's the fact that both of those track at the same time in our life. And so we have to come back into this idea of being blessed. What does it mean by that? Paul, along with writing there in Romans chapter 7, he also writes to his letter there in the Corinthians, in his second letter there in the fourth chapter near the end of that. He says this, and you've heard me, I've mentioned this many times in funerals and all, but listen to verses 16, 17, 18 of the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians. So we do not lose heart, though, listen to this, though our outer self, that's the other me, that's one me, okay, is wasting away, that's the physical, it's wasting away, the inner self, that's the other me, is being renewed day by day. That's the spiritual side of me. So I have this physical side and the spiritual side, the seen and the unseen. That's what he's saying. So there's these two me's within here. And so this battle with me and my me's, that's not quite grammar, right? But it's okay. Verse 18, as we look not to the things that are seen, but things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. They're temporary. They're only here for a moment. But the things that are unseen are eternal. See, it really kind of comes down to this idea of focus, doesn't it? What are you focused upon? Are you focused upon that which is seen or that which is unseen? It's the picture of a guy who stands before his home and his house is ablaze and everything he has is burning down. But he's got his family and they're all been rescued. And so they're huddled around watching the house burn down and he's got his whole family pulled around him. And a guy comes up and says, what are you thinking right now? And he says, and he smiles and he says, my family is safe. I am blessed. My family is safe. His house is burning down. He could have said, I'm having a horrible day in my house. Everything's like, how much worse? But he doesn't, because his focus is, that's just stuff. It's only temporary. Right now, I want my family around me and they're safe, so I'm blessed. Now see, that's the picture, but we sometimes fail to see that in an eternal sense. Though my life be burning down, my focus is still on the fact that I've got a relationship with God Almighty and I'm okay. It's the picture of my friend Tommy who went into Houston to check on a doctor's report and it was either going to be horrible or okay. The doc said, this is either going to turn out to be benign or it's one of the worst types of cancer you have and you won't live long. And I called him and said, man, I'm praying for you. How you doing? And he said, I'm blessed. And I said, you blessed? He said, yeah, because I'm going to go get the news that I'm either healed and I'm okay, or I'm going to heaven. So I'm blessed. Okay, there you go. You know, we have a tendency to think, oh, I'm dying, so I'm under a curse. You know, and I don't, very seldom do I walk in, and I don't. I'm not going to walk into, you know, so you have a family member dies and you're there standing at the casket, and I'm going to walk up and go, oh, aren't you blessed? I'm not going to say that, but do we not realize that death is not the worst thing that could hurt it, that could hit us? We struggle so much against that. We fight against it because that's the curse, and yet It's not. Not when you're in Christ. And so what I want us to do here is I want us to look at Psalms 32. Psalms 32 is kind of the sequel to Psalms 51. Psalms 51 that we looked at last time, you have this picture of David after his sin with Bathsheba, and he pours out himself in confession, and he's just broken before God. That's why we talked about that brokenness, a powerful, powerful one of my favorite scriptures there in Psalms 51. Well, I want us to look at its kind of its sequence to that, which is 32, and you're saying, Pastor, 32 comes before, you know, sometimes it doesn't all lay out that way. But that's really what this is. This is a psalm that's been written by David in response after his time of being coming and confessing and the life after that. And so I want us to take a look at what it really truly means in light of this question of what is the blessed life? What does it mean to be blessed? And the way that we use it, and sometimes it's not, the way we use it is not the way God intended at all. Take a look at verse 32. I mean, Psalms 32, take a look at verse 1. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. So in other words, he's saying here, a definition of blessed is one who is forgiven. That's what he says. Blessed in verse 1, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. If you are forgiven, you are blessed. You don't deserve it. There's nothing that you could ever do that would wipe out your sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. So what you deserve, when somebody says, well, I don't deserve that, you're right. You don't deserve to be fired, and you don't deserve to have a bad life, and you don't deserve to be poor. What you deserve is death and hell. Because you are a sinner, everyone on the planet is. I am, you are, we are, and we deserve that. But if you have been forgiven of your sins, then we are blessed. How could we possibly stand before a holy God and say, oh, I can't believe that how miserable my life is right now. There's a young lady that I was talking to recently, a member of our church, and she is a fairly new Christian, and she's just eager and all excited about the Lord, and she's been sharing Christ, and she has a friend that she's known for a long time, and here she is, a new Christian, and she was sharing her faith with this young man, and he says to her, she was talking about her faith and all this, and he says, I'm like, well, I don't believe in God. And she looks at him, you know, she says, what do you mean you don't believe in God? He goes, yeah, I don't believe in God. And he goes, why would you say that? Why did you say you don't believe in God? You know that God's real. He goes, well, because my parents were going through a terrible time and I thought they'd get a divorce. And so I prayed fervently, hard, that they would not get a divorce. And they got a divorce. God didn't answer my prayer. So I don't believe in God anymore. And I love this. She goes, so in other words, you're just being bratty. That's a great way to approach that whole. And it was so fun because this is not, you don't find this in any kind of witnessing techniques, okay? But I love this honest, kind of this just honest, right in your face kind of thing. So in other words, the reason you don't believe in God is because he didn't give you everything you want, so you're just being bratty. And I love that. It's like, yeah, I get, of course he had to go, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I guess I am kind of being bratty about it. I don't get what I want, so I'm not going to believe in God. Isn't that crazy? But when it comes back here to say, wait a minute, how can I tell God that? How can I express myself to God like that when I have been forgiven? I am blessed. Whether he answers my prayer or not, I am blessed. Because I've been forgiven and I don't deserve that. Take a look at the very next section, starting verse 3. Listen to this. Not only forgiven, being blessed means forgiven, but when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Now, here he's talking about the fact that there was about a year period from the time he sinned with Bathsheba to the time that Nathan came in and poked his finger right in David's face and said, you're the man. And during that period of time when he was under all that guilt, he says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. What he's talking about here is the fact that when you know you're in a wrong relationship with God, when you know you're living in sin, when you know that, If there is no conviction upon you because of that, then you ought to go back and reevaluate your salvation experience, because the conviction of God upon your life because of your sin is real. And that's what David was experiencing. And then he says in that, he says, listen to this. He says, I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will transgress, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave my iniquity of my sin. Wow. What he's saying here is, there's got to be confession. For me to be forgiven, there has to be confession. And confession means that I've cut through all of the deceit and all that other excuses and come right before God and say, God, I've sinned and I'm sorry. I need to stop making excuses and say, this was just a moment. It's not a big problem for me. Oh, well, in our current situation today, in our culture today, that's not like it was. But stop making excuses. Sin is sin. We know when we sin. And we can back up and say, well, it's not a problem for me, or it's not my issue, or I really don't know, or we love each other anyway, or we can make all kinds of excuses, but the Word of God has never varied. Sin is sin, and we know exactly what it is. And the culture will come and change all that and say it's no longer a sin to do this kind of stuff or sin to do this kind of stuff. But in our heart of hearts, we know when we're involved in that, and we ought to fall before God and say, God, forgive me, for I have sinned. You're not honored in this behavior. You're not honored when I pick up that substance. You're not honored when I've gotten involved in that relationship. You're not honored in those things, and that is sin. It's not a misstep. It's not a little bobo. It's not something that we've just kind of, it's a little white lie. Those kinds of things, stop. Just confess it. Because he's saying here that if we are to be blessed, not in the shallow way that we use that word, but in the true sense of God saying blessed, then we come in confession and we are forgiven. As Paul said there as James said, he said that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Stop the excuses. I can't come before it anymore, and I know my heart. And we become absolutely gifted at covering it up and putting on a facade and acting as if nothing's wrong. And yet in your heart of hearts, you know when you need to be broken and come before him in confession and his forgiveness, needing his forgiveness. Take a look in verse 6. Therefore let everyone who is godly, by the way, godly there means faithful. It means those who act in obedience to God, okay? Everyone who is godly, everyone who is faithful, everyone who's walking in obedience, offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserved me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Here, he's talking about to be blessed means to be faithful. That's what he's talking about here when he says, let everyone who is godly, everyone who is faithful, come to me in prayer. So he's talking about a faithfulness towards God. That if we're blessed, we're forgiven, we've confessed our sins, and we're being faithful to God in obedience. That means blessings right there. And then he goes on from that, and he says there in verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the ways you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. I love that, because he's talking about the fact that he's going to guide and lead us. And then in verse 9, this is the only negative in this chapter. And it kind of comes at this way. He says, but be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. So here the idea is, to be blessed is to follow, willingly follow God. And he uses the example of the mule and the horse. And the fact that you have this picture of this farmer and he's getting all the animals into the barn for a blessing, the feeding and whatever. And he looked out here and the horse is just running around. And there's this mule standing over there and he's dug his hooves in and he's not going to move. And if you've ever been around a mule, you know how that is. And here he's saying, stop being like that. Stop being the one that has to be drug into God's blessing, drug into things through the events in your life. And God, sadly, God will step into our lives and discipline us. He will chastise us and chasten us in such a way that we will have to be brought into obedience. And I don't want that. He's saying to be blessed is the one who willingly follows. When I hear God calling, then I come into obedience and I follow him willingly. That's the picture here. I don't have to be coaxed. He says, I will lead you and I will teach you and I will guide you. I love that. And then he says this in verse 10. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Ah, the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. So in other words, he ends this, not only is to be blessed, is to be forgiven, to have confessed, to be faithful to God, to be following God, but it means to be trusting God. The one who trusts in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, truly, when you start looking at what the Scripture says it means to be blessed, it means that I could be riddled with cancer and on my deathbed, and I would be able to walk into that room and look at a person like that and say, you are blessed. And they could smile and say, yes, I am. Because this stuff right here in my body can't separate me from the love of God. You could be going through the worst time of your life. Some of you went through a horrible time during the flood. Some of you have gone through times where that flood was nothing compared to the divorce or the fracturing of your family or the what your kids have put you through or what your parents have been in your life, whatever pain that you've been through. And all of that, you can go through all of that and still stand and say, I am blessed. Why? Because blessing doesn't mean I'm having a happy moment. Blessing doesn't mean that my bank account is full. Blessing does not mean any of those kinds of things about happy or healthy or wealthy or any of that. Blessed means I am forgiven by God. I stand in his presence. I'm willfully following him and trusting him with my life. And I pray that we are blessed. I pray that you are blessed. Now, there's some in this room that maybe you're having a hard time with that. Maybe the reason why is because you've never come into God's saving grace. Maybe you know all about the Lord. Maybe you know about who Jesus is. And maybe you even believe that Jesus is who he says he is, but you've never surrendered your life to that. It is a frightening thing. Will and Lucinda got in last night, and little Benjamin's with them. Little Benjamin, if you don't know, he's 3 years old. He's from China. They just adopted him, and they just arrived back in the United States last night. And I guarantee you, I haven't been over there yet, but I guarantee you, little Benjamin is frightened out of his mind. He has been yanked up out of the only home that he's known for 3 years, flown all the way around the world to the opposite side of the world to a country who does not look like him or speak his language and has nothing even similar to what he is like. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, he is frightened to death. And sometimes, are we not like that? We're like these little kids that God, in his love and grace, adopts us into the family of God, and we go in almost frightened of what God is going to, what does it mean to be a child of God? And he's going, are you kidding? Little Benjamin gets to, he has more freedom than he will ever understand. He has more blessings. He has a family that his forever little family will love him and bring him up into the nurture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has an extended family on side of that that will love and protect him and help him to grow up and all the kind of benefits he has. But he has no idea. In his own little mind, he just sees it as being, this is new and it's frightening. And sometimes that's what it's like coming to Christ. To say, but this is this world that I have, my sin and my orphanage that I've been living in, lost, is all I know, and it's frightening to think about giving that up and becoming a part of the family of God and being saved and being a child of God and being set free from that. What would all that mean? And it means more blessings than what you could ever explain. And if you've never received Christ, then I encourage you this morning to do that. To simply voice in a prayer, dear Jesus, I know you are who you are. I believe you died on the cross for me. And I commit my life to you and ask that you would come in and forgive me of my sin. I repent of it, turn from it, and I will follow you. And a voice that prayer in faith with all the conviction you have within your heart and life is a birth into a new family. And that is blessed. You pray with me. Father in heaven, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we can gather here together as a people that are blessed. People that understand forgiveness, even though sometimes we walk in disobedience. And Father, there may be many here I know, they're just like me. I don't walk every day the way I should. I'm in that battle. And Heavenly Father, you know it more than I even know it. You know everything about me. You know every word before I ever speak it. But you know that there are some days that I seem to win the battle and some days I lose. But you love me still because I am yours by my faith and trust in you. And there may be some others here, I know there are, that they've walked in ways that they're not proud. And Father, I pray that they would see this morning that your arms are open wide and you receive us like the prodigal son back. That we would come back into fellowship. We're still your son. We're still your daughter, but sometimes we break our fellowship by walking in sin and being arrogant in it and not confessing it. My Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to be a blessed people here this morning. That we would confess our sins for the first time or for the 100th time, and that we would start a relationship with you or come back into fellowship, even as a child of yours that's walked in rebellion for a bit. My Heavenly Father, I pray that you would rejoice in what we do. Rejoice in the way we respond to you in obedience. That we would willfully, faithfully follow you and trust you.